Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. And we'll look at that today. Many of you enjoyed spring break last week. I hope you did. The weather was kind of good. I mean, it had its ups and downs, pretty much like Oklahoma does. Cold days as well as nice days. Some of you went out of town, maybe, and saw some sights. I know I talked to Josh and Nikki. They went to Scissortail Park and had a good time down there. Some of you maybe have stayed at home and just had some much-needed rest, just lounged around. Some of you may have spent some time with friends or family. I spent it at home having a new septic tank installed. Not the most fun, but I guarantee you it's most necessary. Because of those of you that have a septic tank, without one, life can be a burden. Speaking of burdens, this morning I'd like to talk to you about that in our passage today, which includes in that a beast of burden, which we'll be discussing about that as well. Next Sunday, we celebrate Palm Sunday, so I'd encourage you to come as well as we celebrate Palm Sunday in preparation for Easter, and of course, the Sunday after that is Easter. And I would like to do a preview this morning of Palm Sunday by looking at how we carry Jesus in our lives. How we carry Jesus in our lives as a believer, as a disciple, even as ministers. In spite of the burdens that we either are facing in our lives or carry daily. How we carry Jesus in spite of the things that we face daily. And I know many of you out there are facing dilemmas in your lives, crisis, just things that you consider a burden in life. And we have to ask ourselves, am I humble enough to carry Jesus regardless of what I'm going through? Regardless of what I'm going through in life, can Jesus use me? And as I look out today, I see widows who have lost their most precious person in their life. And in spite of getting used to going through that and adjusting to that, can Jesus use me? I see many of you out there going through sickness and then things with your health. And in spite of that, can Jesus use me no matter what I'm going through? Do you want to be used by God? I know many think that our past disqualifies us, or maybe that our weaknesses disqualify us from God using us, or that our failures disqualify us. And we think that only God can use those great men and women who are spotless and always have had that great life that they've lived and who are just, well, better than us in our eyes. I know many people, when I see my old friends and I tell them I'm helping pastor a church now, they look at me with raised eyebrows. Huh? You're the guy that used to, you know. We think that disqualifies us, our past, many times. But throughout Scripture, we see example after example of God taking weakened and broken people from all kinds of backgrounds that they have. And he takes them and he uses them to accomplish his purpose. He's been even known to use animals a time or two in Scripture to make a point. But there's one thing that all of those who have been used by God have in common. And that's this, that neither they nor the world around them are ever the same. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them.' And immediately he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming, lowly, sitting on a donkey, sitting on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. He brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Notice that. They spread their clothes on the road. And the others cut down branches and trees and spread them on the road. And the multitudes who went before them cried out, saying, "Hosanna, Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. Let the Lord bless our reading of the Scripture today. Well, it was October 29th, 1927, when Charles Lindbergh was given a ticker tape parade in New York City in honor of the solo flight that he did in his airplane across the Atlantic Ocean. 750,000 pounds of ticker tape rained down on the parade and on the streets as he marched by. But the biggest ticker tape parade was on March 1st, 1962. Anybody remember that particular parade? Maybe, maybe not. March 1st, 1962, for astronaut John Glenn. He became the first American to orbit the Earth in a spacecraft. And the sanitation department cleaned up 3,474, not pounds, but tons, of ticker tape, confetti, and other paper along this 7-mile route of jubilation and happiness for this event. Everybody loves a parade. I like parades. I know Pastor Adam, they usually go to a 4th of July parade in Edmond. And this was no different when Jesus came into town. Josephus, matter of fact, a Jewish historian, estimated the crowd at this event to be as high as 3 million people when Jesus came through those gates. Now that's a big crowd. 3 million people. Well, the third verse of our passage this morning is what I would really like to focus on. Now, this particular chapter, story that I read in this chapter today, it's found in all four Gospels because it's that important. All four writers of the Gospel of the New Testament, all four of them included this in their writings, in the stories. And so the point's very clear. Clear in that the phrase, "the Lord has need of them," is important. Isn't of importance. Because what's interesting about this text is that nowhere in all of the Bible does God ever have a need. But our scriptures today say the Lord has need of them. Jesus tells them to tell anyone who tries to stop them from taking that animal and bringing it to its purpose, he said, "You tell them that the Lord has need of them." He needs that. And you cannot find anywhere in this Bible, anywhere, where God has a need. Matter of fact, Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, that God is not worshipped with men's hands. He said, as though God needs anything. And in that same verse in Acts chapter 17, 25, God does not need anything. It says God is self-sufficient. But yet in our passage this morning that we read in Matthew 21, it says God needs something. And this is the only place in the Bible where I can find that when God said, "I need something outside of myself that I cannot do." You and I, we need water. Amen. We found that true during the sub-zero Arctic thing that hit us. A lot of people's water froze up, and you need water. We need food. And we need stuff just to survive on. Let's see you do without electricity a week. See how you do. It's not fun. Now, we could probably adjust to it, but we need that electricity. But God says, "You know, I don't need anything." Paul even said in that same chapter in verse 17:25 that God doesn't even need our worship. I mean, we think we come to church and because God needs our worship, and we're going to get a silver star in heaven that we came to church and worshiped that day. God doesn't need your worship, and I don't say that sarcastically either. But you and I are the ones that need to worship. You and I need the house of God, and it's beautiful seeing those who are coming back. You and I need to be able to lift our hands in gratitude and in praising the Lord. God's not the one who needs the worship. It is you and it is me that need to worship God. Because we're going to worship something in our lives, regardless. There are times when we're going to worship somebody. There are times when we are going to worship something. Got that brand new truck. Got to stay home and wax it up. Get it ready for Monday at work so they all see that new truck pulling into the parking garage. So sometimes we all worship something. I'll never forget when I got my truck years ago. I was so proud of that thing. And when the first dent I got on that, or first rock mark, it just crushed me. And I thought, Eric, you're pitiful. But that's how we are sometimes. We worship something. And we need to worship God. In Psalms chapter 50, it says, if I were hungry, would you feed me? And that's where that famous verse is found where it says, I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. God says, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me? You don't have really anything that I need. But in this text that we read today, this unusual text, Jesus says, I need that donkey. I want you to notice in that text, he says, I don't need a white stallion. I don't need a beautiful show horse. He didn't ask to have a Tennessee Walker show horse. Or he didn't ask to have a majestic Clydesdale with those huge, powerful muscles. He didn't need any of that. In one of the most critical moments of Jesus's earthly ministry, he would use that animal to go into Jerusalem and perhaps see the biggest crowd that he's ever seen before, 3 million people. And during that last week of his life, he would die on the cross for you and for me. And in one of the most critical moments of his life, he says, I don't need a stallion, I need a donkey. A donkey. I need it. I cannot take salvation to the world unless I use something that I can ride on. A donkey. A donkey is a beast of burden. A donkey, more than anything else, is a burden bearer. And if you've ever been overseas and you go into the mission field, you'll see that donkeys are used a lot. In places like Haiti, I know Pastor Jan's been over to Haiti, they use them over there. You'll see people in South America like Guatemala. Pastor Adam and I saw donkeys used very much, as well as farmers carrying things on their back that we've witnessed. In third world countries or wherever you see them, you'll see a lot of donkeys. And sometimes you'll see those donkeys that they're just so covered up in a load with big bags on the side, that they're so massive that you can't hardly even see the donkey or imagine how it carries the load. The animal is so low to the ground and you can't even hardly see the beast except for its head and its tail because it's carrying such massive loads on its back. If a donkey is anything, it's a burden bearer. And I want to remind you that the church was not built on stallions. Amen? The church was built by people who would take on a burden in their life. Because great families aren't built by show horses. They're built by common folk like you and me, many common folk who understand what life is and the rough spots in life that we have to go through and what it's really like to carry a load and to live with it sometimes. Somebody has to carry a burden. Somebody has to carry a burden for the house of God, for the finances, for the house of God. Somebody has to have a burden of prayer. And that's why we have Pastor Jan and the Intercessor of Prayer team. Somebody has to carry a burden of praise and a burden of worship. And that's why our praise team takes praise so seriously and does a wonderful job and promises to do you it with passion, because they believe in that and they have a burden and they consider it that important. Somebody has to have a burden for children too. We love children. As you see, we're getting more and more of them. We're getting an orchard full of them. And as people are coming back, we need people to have a burden for children. I can teach them, but I'm a 58-year-old man. Kids don't want to hang out with a 50-year-old man. They want someone with vibrancy and young and energy. We have to have a burden for people to win the lost again. Because this, I think that we're in the most critical time in my lifetime and in the history of this nation, because there are so many people who are lost and so many people who have been deceived and so many people who are saturated by hearing preaching and praising and things of that nature on TV and radio that they've been so glazed over and callous to it because they've been so exposed to it. But yet they do not know Jesus. I know they've got religion, and they've heard the story, they've heard the gospel, but they do not know Jesus personally in their life. And somebody has to have a burden to bring Jesus to a lost and dying world. Somebody, amen, has to get it in their soul. I think it's a beautiful sight when I see Pastor Jennifer and Twyla, when she was here coming, when they first came to Prayer and Faith, they met with Pastor Adam and I, and we talked and told them about our passion and desire for our church and the Holy Spirit and the gifts and of that nature. But then they started coming, and then Pastor Ed and I just started coming. I really think he started coming for Jennifer, but he started coming. And then I had the pleasure of uniting Pastor Adonijah and Jennifer in marriage. And then came Jennifer's parents, Ronnie and Lisa, bringing along with them little Aiden. And then little Aiden, she came to know Jesus growing up here in church. And then on January 10th of this year, Pastor Adam baptized Aiden. It was a beautiful sight. But that's how it works. Through carrying a burden for Christ and finding out that the Lord has need of you. Through relationships, through family, and through friends. I remember baptizing Anthony, Tina's husband. They came here through friends. And that's how it works. So this morning I'd like to give you some lessons from this story that I pray will become real to you. Because when I look at this donkey and I see this donkey, I see the kinds of people that the Lord has need of, that Jesus can use. The kinds of people that Jesus will choose to use and use that are found in this story. And this story can teach us some lessons about the donkey, of what qualifies you and I to be used by God. Such as this donkey was. Now, the first lesson I see about this donkey is that blessings come from the greatest burdens that you bear. Lessons come from the greatest burdens that you bear. Jesus Christ was the greatest blessing. Would you agree with that? But understand this, that the burden that that animal bore, the donkey bore, was the blessing that he carried. All we care about sometimes is getting blessed. In this generation, it seems that, where's my blessing? It's all about the blessing. What can I do to get God to bless me? Do I need to give more? Do I need to come to church more? Do I need to be more committed? What do I need to do to get God's blessing in my life? I want the blessed life. They've written sermons about the blessed life. They've written books about the blessed life. Somebody needs to write a book about the burdened life. I don't think it'll be a big seller, but there needs to be a book about it, because the greatest blessings in our life always come out of the heaviest burdens that you and I have to carry in our life. And you can't separate the blessing from the burdens. If you get the burden, then the blessing will come. But notice how the weight of Jesus on that animal, on that donkey, that was the burden that that donkey was carrying. And yet the burden was the blessing that God would use for the entire world. And when you understand that in your life, that it's the burden of Jesus Christ, then that's where the blessing comes from in your life. It is a burden to carry Jesus, to live for Jesus, to have those convictions in our life, to stand up for what is right when you know what is wrong. It is a burden, but out of that burden comes the greatest blessing. And many of you are dealing with burdens, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your own self, with health issues, or in your home. But I want to encourage you today that the greatest blessing of our life doesn't come out of God just blessing and pouring blessings upon our life, but the greater the burden in your life, the greater the blessing. And you're not qualified to be used by God unless you understand that. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a pretty donkey. Unless you see one on a cartoon with lipstick or something, and still it's not pretty. They're just not a beautiful animal. I mean, why does Napoleon, when you see all those Renaissance portraits, why does Alexander the Great, in any of those ancient portraits that you've seen them in, you never see them on a donkey? But instead, they're either riding or they're standing in front of this beautiful stallion. And sometimes that stallion is rearing up on its hind legs. And the artists, they did that because they understood that we need to position the king or position the ruler to show and to project an image that shows he has authority and he has a lot of power. And I think this will do it. But now here comes the King of Kings. And he doesn't need anything to make him look powerful. He doesn't need any talent or good looks. Matter of fact, the scriptures say he was pretty much an ordinary, plain Joe type of guy. Somebody you'd see probably in a pocket t-shirt and jeans walking around. He doesn't have to have any great singing ability or great preaching ability to look good. But he can use anything, and he can use anybody who will get under a burden. And if you don't have a burden, and I don't care how talented you are, then God can't use you. We've had a lot of musicians up here play. They've come and gone. They didn't have a burden. They just wanted to play. But you need to have a burden for something. And if you're going to carry Jesus, the greatest blessings come out of the greatest burden of carrying Jesus. Because as Christians, we want everything easy. We don't want our friends to make fun of us because we're a Christian or we go to church. We don't not want to get invited to special events because they know that we're a Christian and go to church, or don't get invited to parties and so forth. That's because it's the burden of carrying Jesus. And you may not have a lot of people who want to hang out with you or maybe even date you, because that's the burden of carrying Jesus. But when you carry the burden of Jesus, the blessings will be coming in your life and they'll start to flow. And you cannot have one without the other. That's just the way it is. Second lesson from the donkey is, if you want Jesus to use you, the story teaches us that Jesus calls the unqualified. There's one place in Mark, I think, chapter 11, verse 2, that this gives a description of this donkey, where it says that it was a donkey that had never been ridden before. And if you're not looking, when you read that scripture, you can read right over that. But you know what that means? That means that that donkey was an unqualified carrier. That donkey wasn't trained. It was not qualified to have people riding on its back. And we all know what happens when you try to ride an animal that hasn't been ridden before. You either get bucked off, kicked, bit, or something of that nature. That's why bull riding is so fun to watch. But this donkey wasn't qualified, because if God is going to use you, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to have a degree in theology. I know Kesha up here had mentioned if those who have never invited Christ a lot in their life come see the pastors or leaders of the church, and we would love to do that. But it's not only us. It's you all, everybody. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're qualified to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Because the first thing you have to do is to get under the burden of carrying Jesus Christ. Because if you'll carry Jesus Christ into your workplace, they don't care about the Greek and the Hebrew translations or what the exegesis of that text really means. They want to know that can they feel a difference when you walk into the room, and if you're carrying Jesus and you bring some joy, instead of when you walk into the room, they say, uh-oh, here they come. Watch what you say. They'll fly off the handle. They want to know, do you make a difference? And are you under that burden in your life of, I really do care about you, or what you're going through? I love you. Or, you know, I can pray for you about that, because I have a living relationship with Jesus. Because the one that's riding me is real. Because Jesus uses and he calls the unqualified. Amen? You may say, well, you know, I just don't understand everything. People might ask me a question and I might not have an answer to what they're seeking. You don't have to understand everything to do great things for God. I look back when both Pastor Adam and I started preaching years ago. We didn't know a whole lot about being a pastor. We knew about being servants because that's what we did. We didn't know a lot about what it was like to shepherd a church, or how to conduct a funeral, or to perform a wedding, or to do a baptism or a baby dedication. But we both carried a burden. Amen, brother? We knew Jesus was on our backs. We knew the King had our back. Because we both shared the desire for doing obedience to what God was calling us to do. And we both knew that the Holy Spirit was empowering us with confidence and boldness in doing what we needed to do as shepherds. And we didn't know how we were going to do it, other than we both loved Jesus, and we both loved serving Him, and we both were in sync with each other. And many times when we began preaching, we made fools of ourselves. Remember one time I was going to do the message for Sunday, and I wanted to use an illustration that would be very impactful for you all. And I Pastor Jack was still here then, and I told him and Pastor Adam that I was planning on using gunpowder, and I was going to put it in a big wok and light it. Well, that didn't go over too well for the ministerial preview. I'm glad it didn't, now that I think about it, because who knows what it would have done. I probably would have had a scorched hair and scorched face, and y'all would have been coughing vehemently from all the smoke that would have been in here. But then I look at Pastor Adam when we were over Ground Zero. He's the one that took a big white roll of paper and went outside and gathered a bunch of dead grass and rolled it up and tied it at both ends to look like a big marijuana joint, because I think he was doing something over drugs or something for the teenagers. And he walks in there and he tells Spencer, crank up the smoke machines. I want this to be really effective. And poor Rex, he was back doing sound then. And Rex was about to die from coughing back there in his asthma. So, you know, we all do, and it took about 30 minutes or 45 minutes for that smoke machine to finally clear down before you could even see him up there on stage. But he was strutting around there with that big 3-foot-long marijuana thing and just smoke billowing all around him. And it was quite a sight to see. But I look back at that and think, you know, I'm glad God doesn't just use stallions. I'm so glad that God uses the unqualified like both of us. But I promise you, though, that if you go down the road with Jesus, He will qualify you. Amen? Many of you have been doing Bible study classes and doing them in your homes even. And you felt a little nervous of how that would go. But Jesus, the Holy Spirit, powered you and He taught you as you got into the Word. He will train you. He will teach you. And He will mentor you on what you do, if you're willing to do that for Him. And He'll raise you up. And people may not give you the glory, but neither, they won't give you the glory at times when you say, I've worked so hard in doing this teaching and opened up my home, or I've done this class for so long. But He'll give the one who needs the glory and who deserves the glory. Because the Lord has need of you and you and you and you and you. The Lord has need of us. And this story teaches us that you have to carry Jesus, but Jesus will do the heavy lifting. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, it says, surely, listen to it, it says, surely He has bore our grief and He has carried our sorrow. In other words, He's saying, you can't carry me, I'll carry all that stuff. And it goes on to say, that says, yet we esteemed Him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, and He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So you and I carry Jesus. We carry the burden of carrying Christ, the reproach of carrying Christ, sometimes even the rejection of carrying Christ, but He carries the heavy load. In my past years of ministry, I've heard young people say, you know, it's just too hard to live for God. But it isn't if you're really living for Him. And I look back over my years in high school, and I remember they had a club called Youth for Christ. And I always remember looking at them thinking, they're just a bunch of goody two-shoes. But yet I was a Christian. I had surrendered my life at age 7. And I'm thinking, why did I feel that way toward them? It's because I wasn't really living for Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll carry the heavy stuff if you'll just carry me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You don't have to carry the heavy lift. You don't have to try to make it on your own. I'm going through this with you. Because there's a Savior that tells us, I'll help you. And grace will lighten that shame, that guilt that you may still want to drag around behind you on a string. Grace will lighten the load of the past failures you've been through and have done. Excuse me. God will pick you up, and He'll raise you up if you'll only carry Him. Another lesson about the donkey is that donkeys are built for endurance and not for speed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, it says, the race is not to the swift. Boy, how long does it take us to learn that one in our lives? How many ministries have you seen that just kind of go up in smoke? Not here for long. Open up the doors 1 week and a month later they're closed. You know, there's one thing about this little church here, Prayer of Faith. I know we go through our ups and downs, but we're not just some little fly-by-night church built on a hotshot preacher or something or someone or something other. But we're going to make sure that here at Prayer of Faith that we preach Jesus, that we preach the Word, and that we get on our knees at times to pray. And we're going to love one another, and we're going to accept one another. And we're going to forgive one another. And we're going to give to one another if we need to. Because we love God. We love Jesus and we love the Holy Spirit. And have for many years. Matter of fact, this will be our 35th year here at Prayer of Faith. For we're not just a flash in the pan. We've been doing this. We've been running the long race. And the donkey, it's not a racehorse. The race is not to the swift. The race is not to the strong. But rather, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And it's so important for you and I to grasp and grab hold of that, because there are people who are quitting the race. And there are people who are giving up on the race. And I'm not just talking about during the pandemic where people have stayed away from church, but I'm talking about they're just leaving it completely. People who just seem to fall aside, just like the plague, and maybe they've lost that joy in their life, I don't know, or lost that peace, or lost that fire for God that they once had. And we often forget that it's not how good you started, but we must determine that we're going to make it to the finish line. We can't let anything stop us. We must make it to the finish line, for this is an endurance race. And if you can't see that Jesus Christ is coming again soon and the signs are very clear in the Word and becoming more clear and clear every day, don't drop out of the race. Stay in it. Stay in it to win it. How many of you this morning would say that I have been truly blessed by God? Raise your hands. Amen. And that He has done amazing things in my life and your life. I don't deserve the house I'm living in. I don't deserve the car I have. I don't deserve the blessed life that I've had, that God's given me blessing. I just don't deserve it. Well, here's another big lesson from this story, and it's so important. That you carry the burden, but don't ever forget Jesus gets the praise. You look at that donkey. And it would have been easy for that donkey when he started entering those gates in Jerusalem, and all that donkey was ever used to seeing with those old muddy trails that he carried all that baggage on, and those dusty roads that he's traveled down, breathing just dirt in on those hot days and those dusty roads. But now people are throwing coats in front of him. It's in your Bible. We just read it. They're taking their coats off and throwing it down. And now he's walking on the path of prosperity. It's nice. They've got palm leaves to walk on. We've got expensive clothing. The road's not dusty. It's nice and soft. He's high-stepping. Everybody's screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. Praises are coming from everywhere. Wonderful Counselor. It could have been easy for that donkey to actually think, they're really impressed with me. But remember, you carry the burden, but he gets the glory. He gets the praise. He gets the honor. It's not about you, donkey. And you need to give him some praise. Corrie ten Boom, I don't know how many of you remember her. She was a survivor from a concentration camp. She said, I was just the donkey that carried Jesus to the multitudes. And if you and I will be that kind of person that will give him praise for every victory, every success that we have in life, just be able to give him the glory, because I know there's a lot of testimonies out here who God has blessed you with and God has done things in your life. And you need to have that Holy Spirit give you that boldness and confidence to step forward and to tell that to believers, because there may be somebody that's going through something similar in their life and they need that encouragement. I close with this. The Lord does not have need of you, and Jesus cannot use you until you get untied. Jesus said that you're going to find that colt and it's going to be tied to a post. And he said, loose it. Untie it. Because when you and I are tied to something, the scenery never changes. When you are tied to something that perhaps you haven't given over to God, it's the same old thing every day. You're tied to it. It's your whole world. There's a whole world out there, but you're tied to that guilt or that shame, or that's all you see because you're just tied to that. It may be a habit or whatever. You could try to get away from it every once in a while, but you can't because you're tied to it. But when Jesus unties you, and watch this, he begins to get in you and he begins to ride you. And he'll take you to places that you've never been. You'll see a whole new world. You'll experience a whole new way of life. And if you'll get loose and let him lead you, Jesus says, I'll change that road that you're walking on. And let me say this real quick. Insert this here. Sometimes we need people to help untie us. Whether it be your spouse, or whether it be a friend, when they try to help you do that, don't buck at them. Don't try to kick them. Don't try to bite them. Because they're trying to help you. I remember when Kathy last year brought Vern down the front here and smacked his cigarettes on that altar and says, Vern's going to give these up for God. Poor Vern looked like he had a steak dinner yanked away from him. Comes up here, just head down. But sometimes we need somebody to help us untie us from that post. Years ago, we had some high school students who were going to lunch, had a wreck with a school bus. One of the students was thrown out of the car, hit the head on the road, and was rushed to the hospital that I worked at, OU Medical Center. And I remember that, hearing it on the news, and when they said the name, I knew the parents of that young boy, that teenager. And I was telling the people in my office about that, and the lady said, you need to go down there, Eric. I said, what do you mean? She said, he needs some comfort. I said, I don't know what to say to this guy. His son's dying on the operating table if he's not dead already. And she says, I don't care, Eric. He needs somebody with him. In that ER, in that emergency room, I said, I just don't feel comfortable going down there. She says, no, you're going. And she literally almost grabbed my arm, pulled me down the hallway, got on the elevator, got to the ER entrance and said, here, there he is. And I kind of saunter over to him and I say, I am so sorry for what happened. And he said, yes, it's a horrible accident. I don't think he's going to make it. And he didn't. And I sat down next to him. And I didn't have anything to say. I didn't have any scriptures or wisdom from God. And I just flat out told him, I don't even know what to say to you. Because I can't relate to this. And he says, you don't ever want to. And we both just sat there and cried. So sometimes you need someone to help untie you from that post in order to let Jesus ride on your back. And it may be just to be in the moment with someone. Because Jesus said that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you because I love you. You may have heard the legend, maybe you haven't heard the legend of the Jerusalem donkey. The story of the Jerusalem donkey goes something like this. The donkey brought Jesus into Jerusalem. And the donkey was very troubled. Because he knew that what Jesus was about to go through. With his trial and with his suffering and with his death on the cross that Jesus was facing. And the donkey, he saw the sad treatment that Jesus received. And he wished he had been able to carry the cross for Jesus on his way to Calvary. After all, it was his job to carry man's burdens, to carry man's burdens in life. And the donkey couldn't bear to watch Jesus up on that cross. So he turned away. But in his concern for Jesus, he still stayed nearby as Jesus endured his torture. And God from above saw this, that little donkey staying there by that cross. And he caused the shadow of the cross to fall across that donkey's back. And that donkey has carried that sign on his back ever since, as a symbol of God's love to mankind. And even today, if you'll look closely, all the donkeys across the world, whether they're grazing in pastures or gracing the big screen on television, they share one mysterious feature. And that's this, is that they have a dark cross on their backs. It runs down their spine and across their shoulders. All of them have this feature, even the dark ones, because if you shaved off all of their fur, you'd still find that cross on their skin. And when you and I follow the call that the Lord has need of you, and you carry the burden of Christ, you too will be marked. The cross of Christ will be forever emblazoned on your heart, and he will always be able to use you for his glory. Please bow your heads with me in prayer. Father, today we thank you. We thank you that you choose to use us. Using us in spite that we don't have any talent or looks or education or anything maybe else that may be external in our life. You can use anyone who calls upon you and who genuinely seeks you with their heart. And today, Father, we have people who are seeking you to be used by you, Father. With all that they are within them, all of their strengths that they possess, along with their weaknesses, Father, we give them to you. Have your way in our life, so that we bring honor to you, especially as we approach Passover and the Holy Week, celebrating you, your resurrection on Easter. Let us be able to bring you glory so that we're able to lift up our hands to you in worship unto you. For you will do great and mighty works within us, Father, as we step up and begin to trust your guidance in our lives day by day. They are chosen by you, Father, because, Lord, you have need of them. Because they have heard that call in their life from you. And they love you, and their heart seeks you, everything that's within them, Father. We believe and we receive this morning, Father, as we have prayed, to give you the glory in advance for those prayers being answered. Father, there's some today here who are going through a journey, a path in their life that they're so unfamiliar with. It seems like life has come at them from out of nowhere, has blindsided them, whether it be health issues, whether it be financial issues, whether it be family issues. And so, Father, I pray that they would be able to carry you on their backs as they go through this dark path before them, this path of uncertainty, and they would be able to give you the praise and the glory that you deserve. Father, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, that has not accepted you into their heart fully, and has been transformed by you, by the power that you have given them, Father, I pray that they would open their heart, fall before you on their knees, and repent before you, and ask you into their life to be washed and cleansed and renewed and filled by your Spirit. Father, we love you as a church. We ask your protection on us. We ask your guidance. And we ask your instruction and wisdom in our lives as we carry you on our backs to a lost and dying world. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of the church said, amen and amen. Please stand this morning as we close and praise the Lord.